Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thanks for keeping your dial tuned to Tech Vibe Radio. Thanks for tuning in tonight, this Friday night. We're bringing you Tech Vibe from TRETSI, the Three Rivers Educational Technology Conference at Montour School District. We do this every single year at the Tech Council. It is so important to see the intersection of technology and education. And we're here with Justin Driscoll, who you've become like a regular sidekick on Tech Vibe Radio, Justin, and I'm glad about that.
Yeah, you know, I used to be on the radio when I was in high school, Jonathan, so this is like harkening back to my high school days.
I love it, man.
Yeah.
Now, Justin, you are all things TRETSI. And, I mean, you've been doing this for decades.
This is my 10th TRETSI.
Wow, number 10.
I missed one. In 11 years, I've missed one. So this is my number 10.
This is your number 10.
2006 was my first TRETSI.
We'll excuse the one that you missed.
I know. They call that the dark ages of TRETSI.
Exactly. So tell us about TRETSI real quick. And we got a great guest we're going to jump in.
So TRETSI has been around for almost 20 years now.
20 years.
And it was started by the Allegheny Intermediate Unit.
Okay.
It's been hosted at the Carnegie Science Center. It's been hosted at hotels and different schools. Now, recently, we've been at schools. So we've been at Bethel Park,
right,
and now we're at Montour.
And this is a beautiful school district. Like, I'm wishing I could go back to elementary school.
I know, right?
I want to hang out here. There's Legos upstairs. Like, I'm just saying.
Montour School District, Justin Allio, who's going to be on our show, they've done it right. They have really done a great job here. There's over 100 school districts from Western Pennsylvania here. Intermediate units, Allegheny Intermediate Unit, Intermediate Unit 1, Westmoreland, whole bunch of intermediate units and school districts from across Western Pennsylvania coming together today to talk about education in the classroom. Teachers are here who are cutting-edge teachers.
Right.
Administrators are here, tech directors, superintendents. It's really a cross-section of ed tech leaders from Western PA.
Really fast. What are some of the bigger trends that you're seeing right now when it comes to the intersection of technology and education?
Project-based learning is really, really big. The theme this year is digitizing personalized learning, and it's really this movement away from where the teachers are standing in front of the classroom as lecturers.
So much more fun that way, isn't it?
Right. Oh, yeah.
You lectured at all day long?
There's pictures on the internet. You can see classrooms from the 1700s and 1800s, and then you can see classrooms today in many schools across the country. Look exactly the same. TRETSI is all about changing
that. Though, right?
The clothes are a little bit different. Well, but you know, what's old is new again. So
powdered wigs could be coming back. You never know with these kids these days.
They might be, but chalkboards, whiteboards are the new chalkboards. There's really not much different in it. And just because you have a whiteboard in your classroom doesn't make you having a project-based classroom or being a teacher that's leading with personalized learning. So TRETSI is all about changing the culture, changing education, and doing it to improve student achievement, student performance.
Absolutely.
So at the Tech Council, we're just happy to lead that conversation.
Very much so. And I want to just remind our listeners that you were filling in for Audrey Russo tonight, which I appreciate you coming in here.
Yeah, you're welcome.
We thought it'd be a perfect fit for you to come in here because you run this thing, you bolt it together, and you know it's up. And we have some great partners that make this happen. One of this is Invention Land, and we have Ken Burke here. Ken, thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Yeah, so tell us about Invention Land real quick.
Yeah, Invention Land, we started Invention Land about 12 years ago, and we're a product development company. And really helping people and companies generate ideas. And we started the education business a couple of years ago. And that is what we believe is going to be our best innovation ever. So we're really excited about growing the business. And I, for one, I mean, I'm not a born educator. I've been through schools, and similar to you all, I've seen a lot of changes that are going on, and we're very excited to be part of it.
Very, very cool. So what was your interest in being part of Tretzi? Obviously, there's a great fit here for what you guys are doing. Tell us a little bit more about
that. Yeah, we see Tretzi. I mean, Tretzi is, in our mind, probably one of the best conferences because of the technology movement. There's great participation from the school districts, and we just see it as a great forum to share ideas and to collaborate.
Without a doubt.
And Ken, you guys have done some great work in the opening session. The opening session today, you guys showed your video of what you did at Seneca Valley School District. Can you give us kind of a background
this.
And why you're doing the work you're doing and what you guys have done at Seneca Valley and what you're hoping to do at other schools?
Yeah, that would be great. We actually designed our own facility, so we feel like we're pretty knowledgeable about designing space. And what we had happen was we had the superintendent, Sean McCarty. His daughter actually came through InventionLand on a tour. And she came back, and Sean had never heard of InventionLand, even though it's, you know, Cranberry and Seneca Valley's not that far away. He decided to come and see it for himself, and that ended up opening up doors in our design capability and helping them convert their library to a creative space. And we finished the project in about 2 months over the summer and commissioned it, and that's what we shared today here at the conference. And we're very, very enthusiastic about really bringing design and build capability along with curriculum to really kind of complete the whole experience. So environment matters.
Yeah, it really does. And I've been to your facility out in Harmer, and it is a remarkable place where your people do work. And I love to see that you're bringing that type of thought process to schools because it's so needed. So if I'm a superintendent of a school and I'm listening to Tech Vibe Radio today, or I was at Tretzi and I see what you did at Seneca Valley, how long does it take to do something like that? How do I get involved? You know, how do I pay for things like that? Money's always an issue with schools. You know, talk to us about that side of it. How does someone get started on this journey?
Yeah, the process we usually encourage is, one is come see our place.
Yeah.
And
take
it's
a
an
tour,
emerging
check it
place.
Out, right? It's remarkable.
Yeah, so come check it out. We're in RIDC Park, and we probably have close to 1,000 students and teachers and educators come through a month. And we have tours going on all the time while we're working in the space, so it's a good interactive experience. So in terms of time, what we typically do is we work with the schools on a concept, and then we convert that concept into, you know, more of a specific custom design. And in the case of Seneca, we put the whole package together, the design of the space, the curriculum, the resources, the whole thing. And it actually turned out to be really, really well orchestrated. It was great teamwork. And the whole process was about 3 months. And so it's not
long
process. Seneca was able to secure some grant funding. That, of course, helps. And then we went through and supported them as best we could with giving them competitive, you know, pricing and delivery options.
So we have about time for one more question. And so if we were sitting here 5 years from now and InventionLand was able to see your vision come to fruition, what would the world of education look like in your mind?
Well, I think the world, in my view, would look like a very dynamic, interactive, integrated spaces. We'll see a lot more freedom. I think that we'll see a situation where students can interact more freely. We call it co-learning. The teachers, in some cases, are learning more than the students in terms of just how to interact. And we think that's a powerful model, and we think that's going to continue.
So if people want to learn more about InventionLand, where can they go and check you guys out?
Well, they can go to our website,
InventionLandInstitute.com,
and that's probably the easiest way to get to us.
Great.
And we'd be delighted to share perspectives and collaborate. And
go for a tour.
Go for a tour.
It's amazing.
Go for a tour. Enjoy yourself. Be inspired. And really just let your passion fuel, you know, the growth.
Fantastic. I'll tell you what, we're taking a break. We're coming back with more action from TRETSI 2017 here at the Montour School District with Justin Driscoll helping us co-anchor and co-host. And also on today's show, we're going to have a little bit from our Buchanan Labs series. If you go to iTunes and search for Tech Vibe Radio, you'll see Buchanan Labs there. We're talking about foreign-born entrepreneurs and how they are able to build companies here in Pittsburgh. So keep your dial tuned right here to Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting. Learn more about us at pghtech.com. Welcome back. You are spending your Friday night with us here on Tech Vibe Radio. And once again, we are on the scene, on location. You cannot keep me from taking the mobile field unit out and grabbing great interviews. We're doing that today at TRETSI, the Three Rivers Educational Technology Conference. I have the one, the only, the distinguished Justin Driscoll.
Wow, that's quite the introduction, Jonathan.
Justin, you need that, man.
Man.
You are part of the bedrock of the PTC. You lead up our people and culture services at the PTC, and you are like the guy behind this conference.
That's right.
I see you working on all year long. The day comes and we're here. And this year you said, let's bring the radio show out here.
I know. We try to keep thinking, how can we make TRETSI better?
Exactly.
And having Tech Vibe Radio here, we just got better.
I want to get the word out.
That's right.
The intersection of technology and education, I mean, that's just where the magic really happens on so many different levels. And I'm like, we need our listeners to learn more about this stuff.
We do. We have 50 sessions taking place today, Jonathan. And
that's
incredible. Some of them will be online at pghtech.org or TRETSI. Etsy.org.
Okay.
After the session, those presenters who give us permission.
Right.
So you can check them out. If you couldn't make it today, obviously you're hearing this. TRETSI's over, but you can go online and see some of the sessions.
Check it out and mark your calendar for next year, because we do this every year.
That's right. It's always around election day,
right?
Well, it's around the 20th TRETSI. It's the Tech Council's 10th. But it's always the first week in November.
Absolutely. Now, you brought a cool guest with you.
Who is hanging out with us today? Another. We just heard from Invention Land. Who is our title sponsor. Now we have California University of Pennsylvania is also a title sponsor here at TRETSI.
Fantastic.
And Dr. Stephen Whitehead. Stephen and I have known each other off and on for quite a long time. So, Stephen, thanks for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me. It's always great to stop in and talk to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we just finished the opening session here, and you gave a great short talk about why CalU is involved with TRETSI. CalU is known for producing great teachers that have been employed across Southwest Pennsylvania for many, many years. And you guys are on the cutting edge of ed tech. You're on the cutting edge of pre-service teachers. So give us an idea of why you guys are involved with TRETSI and what are some of the things going on at CalU these days.
Well, for CalU, one of the main reasons we want to be a sponsor for this is, you know, we see the world's changing, we see students changing, but we don't see a lot of change going on in education. But one of the benefits is in Southwestern Pennsylvania, we see this really cool synergy of what's going on with these schools in Allegheny County. So what we've seen is there's a group called Digital Promise, and they go around the country and they recognize innovative schools. And in Pennsylvania, we have 7 innovative schools that have won this award from the Digital Promise. 6 of them are in Southwestern Pennsylvania.
Really? That is so interesting.
Is that right?
Wow.
I mean, we've got some juice going on
here.
Yeah. If you think about all the energy and synergy that's happening in Pittsburgh, this is one more piece of that. So there's Avonworth, there's Baldwin-Whitehall, there's Elizabeth Forward, there's Fox Chapel, there's Montour, and there's South Fair.
And they're all here today.
Yeah.
They're all here today.
Those people are always in the room when these things are going on.
Yes.
So as an educator, one of the things I always push California to is we need to be in the room with it. So this is, it sort of follows if you're a Hamilton fan, mm-hmm. you know, you want to be in the room where it happens.
Exactly.
If you're
right.
not in the room where it happens, then you wonder what happened.
What happened? So did it actually happen?
Yeah, so one thing is for CalU, we want to be at these events. We want to see what's going on because it's really important for us. These are our future customers. And what they're experiencing every day,
yeah,
if we don't replicate that when they come to us, or we don't expand upon it when they come to us, they're not coming to us.
So TRETSI is all about the intersection of education and technology. It's all about, sometimes it's a little cutting edge. You know, many of the teachers who are here are that. They're cutting edge teachers. And so if you think about the thousands and thousands of teachers that are in Western Pennsylvania, we only have about 500 of them here today. And so...
Just 500.
But not everyone thinks like the teachers who come to TRETSI.
Right.
So how do we make that culture shift? How does education change? You said it yourself here in the beginning, and you said it at the opening session today.
Well, I really think it's goes back to Malcolm Gladwell's A Tipping Point. So, yeah, the people here are the first waivers. We see these people at every conference. It doesn't matter if it's TRETSI or if it's another educational thing, if it's through a Remake Learning. Like, this is the same tribe. This tribe moves. So the way we get this tipping point to occur is we get the second waivers to come. So now we're seeing the rural schools looking at what Avonworth is doing, looking at what Suffolk. And look, no one's going to replicate that exactly because every district has to serve its own community.
Just get the seeds out there.
That's right. So we're seeing these parts pull out of it. So I was really excited. I'm from Perryopolis, and our school district's Fraser. Fraser is at this event. Their elementary principal's here.
That's great.
They built a simulator in their new school. So these other schools are starting to embrace that, and I think that's where this starts to turn. Education can lead, because in the Mon Valley, California can assist IU1 in getting districts to see what's going on. So part of this is us bringing our faculty out to districts like South Fayette, Montour, Elizabeth Ford, and just to have the educators see what's happening in the classroom, and then go back and say, all right, if I'm preparing somebody for this career, how do I do that in a way where it's impactful, and I'm not we're not teaching... As teachers, we always fall back and we teach the way we taught. So the teachers who were passionate and empowered us, that's who we follow. That's who we teach like. So this is getting these kids in front of people who are doing things different, who are willing to take those risks and take those changes, and then getting school districts, getting the little school districts to see, look, these are things we have to give these kids. We're building kids for careers that don't exist. So what does that really mean?
I think we see it in the tech sector every day. As I talk with tech companies about people they need, the people that they need today, they didn't need them 5 years ago. They really didn't need them. And so all those skill sets, so it's not just about teaching them how to learn a skill, right? It's teaching them how to learn. Because in 5 years or in 10 years, when they get out into the workforce, there's going to be jobs that we don't even know of today.
And I guess with the pace of how things are changing, it comes down to you just need to be a lifelong learner at this point, right? Yeah. It's like at some point, it's blurring too quick for me and everybody else. Yeah.
Well, I really think that's the whole thing. So like, there's this whole STEM focus in science and tech, and I'm all for that. But if you think about it, STEM, now there's arts added to it because creativity has to be there.
That's right.
The liberal arts
play
a huge part.
That's the glue that puts it all together,
to me,
as far as I'm concerned.
Like,
absolutely.
If we could move away from that acronym, because that acronym causes a lot of angst among people. The S should be bigger. The T should be bigger. The U should be bigger.
Yeah.
I want to get my you think things like that. But I really think teaching kids to think creatively, teaching, you know, getting kids to look at problems differently, giving them the ability to expand it. And that's what I really like about these school districts. Because of the different activities they're doing, the things they're throwing at the kids, it gives them the opportunity to learn at their level, to learn where they're at. And that's one of the things, like the personalized learning. If we can get students to understand the values of why they want to be good learners, then it pays everything forward. Then we have kids who, you know, they'll come to us and say, hey, I want to learn about this.
Yep.
We might have no beauty. One of the beauties of this conference, I really believe, is the connections.
Oh, absolutely.
It allows the small districts to build the connections. Just the sponsors and everyone here. It gives you that opportunity to have those conversations and then go back and say, well, how did you do this? Or how did you do that?
So we have time for one more question. And I asked Ken Burke this question before he left.
This is like your question of
the
day, Justin.
This is my question. We've been doing TRETSI for 20 years. You've been in higher education for a long time. If your vision of what education should look like comes to fruition over these next 5, 10, 15 years, what do schools look like? What does education look like?
Well, all right, so I'll talk about it through the higher ed
piece. In 1 minute.
So in the higher ed piece, I think higher ed changes from a school where you go and you spend 4 years or 6 years and you trot through a certain path and you end up with this degree. I think it becomes more a la carte, where you come in and you say, I want to study theater and computer science. And we're like, go for it. because higher education isn't about me guaranteeing you employment and better, and higher education is about me making you a better thinker.
Exactly.
So I really
think
it changes to this transitional where we get away from these this is the degree you get for taking these 120 credits.
There and might be a job for you afterwards.
Maybe.
And we say, you know, you come in and you open it up and you learn what you want to learn. We're going to help you be a better learner. And when you leave, you'll be ready for whatever comes in the future.
That is fantastic. Yeah. If people want to learn more about CalU, where can they go and check you out?
I go to calu.edu.
Simple as that.
Yep.
Stephen, thanks for hanging out with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me. This is awesome.
Total pleasure. Justin, thanks for asking the tough questions.
You're welcome,
the good
Jonathan.
Questions, the fun questions, and your question of the day.
Question of the day.
Fantastic.
Right.
We're taking a quick break. We're coming back with more from TRETC 2017 here at the Montour School District. This is Jonathan Kirsting. Learn more about the Tech Council at pghtech.org. Welcome back. Thanks for spending your Friday night with us here on Tech Vibe Radio. And as you know, we are coming from the Three Rivers Educational Technology Conference at Montour School District, hanging out with Justin Driscoll, who's filling in for Audrey Russo. Justin, thanks for hanging out with us tonight.
Thanks for having me, Jonathan. Good to see you again.
I tell you what, I love the fact that we do this event. We've been doing this for 10 years. I get really pumped when I see the intersection of technology and education, and we're hanging out in great facilities like at Montour here at their elementary school. I was just saying before we came on air, I want to go back to school. I want to be 9 for a couple weeks just so I can hang out here.
I know.
Oh my goodness, what a difference. It's amazing stuff. And I'm really excited to talk a little bit more about the intersection of technology and education and just the trends that are going on within education and learning. And so, Justin.
Excellent. Well, we have Dr. Chris Stone, superintendent of Montour School District. And Chris, when I came here for the first time, maybe 6 months ago, I had to wear a hard hat when I walked around this building.
Just 6 months ago?
Less than that.
Wow, I didn't realize it was that new.
I've been here multiple times, but the first time,
all right.
I had to wear a hard hat. And the last time really was in the summertime.
Yeah.
You know, you guys were on an express course. And for those of you who are listening,
that's an understatement.
For those of you who are listening and you don't know what we're talking about, Montour School District opened up and consolidated your elementary schools.
That's correct.
And brought all of your elementary students under one roof. And now your elementary school and your high school is on the same campus. And Chris, we are in probably the nicest elementary school that I've ever been in. So tell us, you're hosting TRETC today, but we want to hear about the school. We want to hear about why you're hosting TRETC. So give the listeners a background about the school and where you guys have come from.
First of all, thanks for the kind words. We really appreciate it. Tons of hard work and dedication and time, effort, energy went into creating this learning space for kiddos. You know, this started probably about 3 years ago, in the infancy planning phases for this new elementary building. At that time, I was K-12 curriculum director, and one of my responsibilities was, to collaborate with teachers, community members, PTA members, and really try to, create a space that's very, very inviting to kids, academically sound for teachers, and also, obviously, we want it to be high energy, high technology. We want to make sure that there's an opportunity for innovation, design, collaboration. So you put all those things into the bag and mix it up. And it's our job to figure out how to create an environment that really, embraces all of those, key elements. So we probably went through about 18 months of planning with respect to bringing all the stakeholders together.
Right.
We had department meetings, committee meetings, meetings for meetings to ensure that all, vital stakeholders had a voice in the process. And it really, really worked out well. We did a really intentional job of documenting, all the meetings to ensure that, folks' ideas were, integrated into this building. And it was, as Justin shared, it was right up to the last minute.
It really was.
I was still wearing hard hats, believe it or not.
Don't touch
in
the
August.
I was here in August. Yeah. And I had a hard hat
on. That soon.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah. So we were still wearing hard hats into August.
Okay.
We didn't open this building until after the Labor Day, and that was intentional to give our construction folks, a little more time to put the window dressing on, for lack of better terms. But ultimately, the planning paid off. I have two phenomenal building principals. I have a director of education, Justin Alio, who did a phenomenal job, with the coordinating and planning of this building. Because obviously, there's a lot of variables and unknowns when you open.
I can only imagine.
A building this size to 1,128 students, grades kindergarten through fourth grade. But the planning paid off. You know, we opened this building on time, under budget, and, you know, the first week was way smoother. I hate to say this, way smoother than I actually anticipated.
That is great. So you must have other school districts knocking on your door saying, how did you do this?
Yeah, well, there's not a lot of folks building buildings right now.
Okay.
But, you know, I actually just got back from San Francisco we were at the EdSurge conference, and I probably made three or four connections of folks nationally who want to come out and visit because they're in the infancy stages of building a new building, you know, and they want to, you know, brainstorm about what we did, some of the opportunities that we afford kiddos, you know, in this building. So, you know, it's nice not only to be recognized from a local perspective, but also a national perspective.
Absolutely.
But when our doors are always open, you know, we're one team, you know, we're all here in the same business of educating kids and being a, you know, a community stakeholder for the public. So, you know, our doors are always open.
I equate it to, you know, Jonathan and I spend a lot of time seeing really cool companies as well. And companies can have ping pong tables, and they can have beer at 5 o'clock on Fridays, and
beer at 5.
Yeah, I know. And they can have an open office environment and new cubes from IKEA, and everything looks like it's from Silicon Valley. But at the end of the day, the people who are leading that company make a difference. And everything else is window dressing.
Yeah.
So you've got a beautiful building. You've got a Lego room, a Minecraft room.
I'm going there afterwards. Diving in head first.
We can go back to our childhood days, Jonathan. But all of that is great. But how's it changing learning? How's it going to change what's going on here?
Yeah, so the Deputy Secretary of Ed and I just had the same conversation. You know, and unfortunately, I don't think there's a lot of empirical research out there that suggests if you have a Minecraft room or if you have one-to-one technology, it's going to enhance or increase student achievement. But, you know, what there's a lot of research out there on students' intrinsic motivation.
Definitely.
You know, kids come here excited every single
day. Exactly. Like, as a student, you want to stay here. I remember when I was a kid going to elementary school in the 70s, you wanted out of school as fast as you could.
If
I were going to school as a kid, I'd be like, no, I'm going to hang out here and do some stuff after school.
Yeah.
And learn more, not even know that I'm learning. You know what I'm saying?
It's the creative blending of learning and fun.
Exactly.
You know, a couple comments that I received from parents said, boy, this looks like the Children's Museum, or hey, this looks like Legoland. You know, people pay to go to these places, right?
Exactly.
You know?
You're like, hey, you're giving us an idea.
Yeah. So, you know, that was very intentionally done, you know, and, you know, right now we're in the process of actually looking at some of our learning corridors, the main corridors out in the large hallways, and creating most museum-type spaces out in those large areas to create a true, you know, learning gallery.
Absolutely.
So that's something, you know, we're continuing to you know, rifle through ideas in terms of, you know, creating new spaces for kids.
Yeah. So we're in the elementary building. Last year for Tretzi, we were at the high school.
Yeah.
How does Montour take what you've done here? Obviously, you don't have the money. No one has the money and limited funds to do what you've done here at the middle school or the high school. But can you take little pieces of this and move it to other buildings?
Yeah, so, you know, we renovated. We had about an $85 million renovation at our high school about 6 years ago. You know, and we've been trying to, you know, reestablish and recreate pieces of the high school that really embraces some of the mindset that we've created at the elementary. And the same thing at the middle school level. Even though it's not a newer building, you know, a lot of the philosophies that we employ down here, you know, we attempt to resonate there as well. You know, with the collaborative seating, making sure that, you know, students have the opportunity to use student voice and student advocacy and agency. You know, the integration of technology. Our middle school teachers are probably, them and the high school teachers are phenomenal integrating technology into the scope and sequence of our curriculum. They've been one-to-one now, our high school for 6 years, the middle school now for 3 years. So they're masterful in making sure they're integrating technology and being very purposeful with it, not simply replacing, you know, skill set.
Not tech sake, but the fact that this is going to go and really
it's not a replacement
achieve.
Of paper and pencil, but, you know, really trying to augment the learning experience using technology. And that's the ultimate goal. You know?
Absolutely. This is why it's so exciting for us to have Tretzi here to showcase, you know, how this stuff works in action.
Right.
To see it going on, I think it's just fascinating.
Right. Like I said, I appreciate the kind words. You know?
Yeah.
Without a doubt. So what kind of trends are you paying attention to? Now you got to this point.
Yeah.
It never stops, right?
Yeah,
so you're still looking ahead. What are you thinking about as far as the next couple of years?
Well, virtual reality, augmented reality, you know, those are two things that, you know, are definitely, you know, on our radar. You know, I think that the technology still isn't there to make it a real robust learning tool in education.
Okay.
But as I shared, you know, we just spent several
give
days.
Give it a couple of years.
Yeah, we just spent several days out in Silicon Valley, and you know, they're rapidly, you know, charging towards making sure that that becomes a reality, no pun intended,
exactly,
you know, in public education. You know, so
I've done some training things with through a company, OpenArc. They have some virtual reality that they're working on with MSA, and I did a demo of it. It was teaching you how to like climb up some steam pipes and turn valves off.
Yeah.
It was, you literally thought you were in the environment, but you could still see where it needs another year for things to really kind of blend.
Yeah,
I think another example is the Google Expeditions.
Okay.
You know, and that's something that they're continually to refine out of Google. You know, but what an unbelievable learning experience for kids to go and visit virtually anywhere in the world.
I know.
And have nearly a 360-degree, you know, view of that particular space. You know, I think that's something that, you know, I'm excited to
for our teachers
to integrate into, you know, our curriculum.
Well, Chris, we have time for one more question. And just to be consistent, John.
Yes, this is his question of the day.
I've asked this more or less the same question to all of our guests today. So in 1 minute or less, if we were sitting here 5 years from now, 10 years from now, maybe we're doing Tretzi here still, maybe we're not.
We're coming back, man.
What does the world of education look like? You know, what does the classroom look like? You know, what does the future look like for education?
And we're going to hold you to it. We're coming back.
That's
in 5 years.
Well,
you're
going to pull this
up. Coincidentally, you know, at the EdSearch conference, the theme was personalized learning. For this, you know, conference is digitized personalized learning. You know, so I think the future of education is really finding a way, and again, this is like the silver bullet, finding a way to customize educational experience for all students based on their need. You know, and it takes good sound teaching and learning, takes relationships with kids. But, you know, obviously we want to find a way to use technology to leverage to make that a reality.
Oh, without a doubt.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, so
thanks.
Exciting,
yeah,
man.
Thanks, guys.
If people want to learn more about the Montour School District and all the great work that you guys are doing, where can they go and check you guys out?
They can go to our website. There's host information, our website, contact information. Feel free to check us out on Twitter.
All the good stuff. Yep. Simple as that. Thank you so much for being part of this. We're pumped to be here.
Justin, we are.
Thank you for co-hosting with me,
Jonathan,
today.
I can't fill Audrey's shoes, but I hope I did a good job.
You did a great job, Justin. You're allowed back anytime you want. That's all I'm saying.
Thanks, guys.
And then for our next segment, we're going to switch gears a little bit. We're actually working with Buchanan Ingersoll and me from Buchanan Labs, talking about the challenges that foreign-born entrepreneurs have when starting companies here in the Pittsburgh region. It's some really fun stuff. I cannot wait to get to it. So keep your dial tuned right here to Tech 5 Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. After that, mosey on over to Twitter at pghtech. Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Tech Vibe Radio here on KDKA, and we are hanging out with the Buchanan Labs, part of an ongoing series we have, really examining some of the tech trends happening in the Pittsburgh region. And to remind everybody that this is not just a radio segment, it also has additional content, bonus content, that you can get if you go over to iTunes, go to the podcast section, just search Tech Vibe, and you're going to see some really great conversations around robotics, artificial intelligence, and what we're talking about today, which is issues faced by foreign national entrepreneurs. One thing that Audrey and I, our usual co-host of the show, we always talk about is we need people from around the world to be here in Pittsburgh. The more people, the more minds, the better. We want big open arms welcoming them here and helping them grow companies and just innovate and just be the great people that they are. And so I'm so excited today to kind of talk about this and to have Buchanan Labs make this happen, which is part of Buchanan Ingersoll and Rooney. And we're actually here at Ascender in the East End recording this segment. I like being out of the studio sometimes, bringing the studio to where the action's happening. So I've got to thank Ascender for letting us kind of hang out here. And so we're going to start off with John Prevost from Buchanan Ingersoll and Rooney. John, thanks for hanging out with us today.
Thank you, Jonathan. Good evening, everyone. I'm John Prevost. Here's a representative of Buchanan Ingersoll and Rooney. I've been with the firm since 1981, but despite all those years, we like to work with startup and development stage companies. It's energizing. We feel really a part of the team, and that's why we support the entrepreneurial community in Pittsburgh.
And you've really seen the changes. I mean, since 1981, Pittsburgh's a way different place. Even over the past 5 years, Pittsburgh is a much better place, much different place. And so what are your thoughts on having people from around the world come to Pittsburgh and start companies?
I certainly think we need more of it. Our history has been with immigrants from other countries coming here
exactly
to build the industries that now have passed by, and now it would be the second or third wave of people from outside the U.S. coming and making meaningful contributions that have benefit all of us.
And the impact of that, I think, is just amazing. I mean, if you look at Silicon Valley, there's some crazy numbers out there. The number of companies and the employment created by people that came from other countries to come to our country to start a company, I think, is pretty amazing. And we, like I said, we want more of that here in Pittsburgh. And it's real fast. I mean, Buchanan Ingersoll, you guys are around to help these companies. I think it's really important to know that you're not just a law firm, you're like a connector as well, too.
Well, we like to think of ourselves as business coaches. We've been down the road, we've had the experience, and if we can help the entrepreneurs avoid a lot of the pitfalls that they'd otherwise encounter by helping steer them around them or plan for them in advance, that just makes the path to success that much faster.
Absolutely. So let's change gears a little bit. I have some great guests here, very excited, because these are the folks that are kind of making Pittsburgh happen, and they happen to be from another country. And I just have so many questions. I mean, you probably have some questions too, John. So please, you can chime in at any point in time. But let's make some quick introductions. Let's start with you, Nesra. Who is Nesra? Tell us about your company, Narilla. What's going on?
Hi, I'm Nesra, and I'm founder and CEO of Narilla. So we're a company, a spin-off from Carnegie Mellon University, and it's based on my PhD research with my advisors, Ken Kadinger and Scott Hudson. So we're developing a new mixed reality learning system to improve children's inquiry-based STEAM learning to make it more enjoyable and collaborative.
And where are you from originally?
I'm from Turkey.
From Turkey?
Yeah.
Excellent. And what brought you to Pittsburgh?
So I came to Pittsburgh now 6 years ago to start my PhD program at
Carnegie Mellon University.
Yeah.
That's why I like Carnegie Mellon so much. That's why it's great having Pitt here, because they're these magnets for bringing super smart people from around the world right here to Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
we need to have them stick around longer, though, like what you're doing. So Matina, tell us about yourself. What are you up to these days?
Hi. Yeah, I'm Matina Apush. I am co-founder and CTO of WhatLearn. WhatLearn, we are offering a software platform for a smart operation of grid-connected batteries.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
We add artificial intelligence to batteries so that they can operate based on optimal strategies to generate more value and while degrading slower.
Absolutely. And where are you from originally?
I'm from Iran.
Iran, okay. And what brought you to Pittsburgh?
I came to Pittsburgh in 2011 to Carnegie Mellon University.
Awesome.
I did my master's and PhD there.
I'm sensing a trend here, John. I'm sensing a trend. This is why I think Pittsburgh is positioned so well sometimes, because of things like Carnegie Mellon, those types of resources.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could go any place in the world you want to study and to do what you want to do, but you chose Pittsburgh because of Carnegie Mellon.
Yeah.
And so what has kept you here then? You could go anywhere you want. Matina, what do you think?
So Pittsburgh has a special place in my heart. It's the first place that I entered when I came to U.S.
Okay.
It's a very nice place to live in. It's a small city, but it has the good aspects of larger city. Carnegie Mellon, of course, has given me a lot. And it is easy to live here. There's a lot of potential, a lot of a meetup place for very talented and from across the world, talented and good people. So I just love it. It's like a home for me.
I like hearing that. So yeah. what's your favorite thing about Pittsburgh?
It's very similar for me. I think it's a very convenient place to live. I used to be in California before I came here. So
right.
I thought like Pittsburgh has a great community. They're very supportive of each other. Everybody's trying to help the other person, especially in entrepreneurship, robotics. There's a lot of different resources, technology, and it's much easier to connect with people and turn your ideas into reality.
I gotcha. So why start a company here then? I mean, you like it? It seems like a good place then to be like, well, I got this, this research I've been doing, and can make a pretty cool company. And so tell me about that.
So I graduated my PhD. I finished my PhD last summer. So at that point, I was thinking about, should I stay here? Or I also got an offer from New York City, so I was trying to decide.
Take that, New York.
And then
we have Nesra, you don't.
I weighed the ups and downs a lot, and then there were a lot of things that attracted me to Pittsburgh, and I got a fellowship from Carnegie Mellon to continue my PhD research and take it into a company, and also we got an NSF grant here with my advisors at Carnegie Mellon. So, and also the EdTech community, I thought in educational technologies, there's a lot of great resources. So I had already started working with a lot of like school districts, museums here. And I thought they're really innovative and open to new ideas. So I thought it would be a great place to start something.
Interesting. So, so Matina, on your angle here for staying in the good old Berg, so glad that you're here doing what you're doing. Why Pittsburgh for you?
So, of course, I started my PhD here, and I was always battling between the ideas of working in the industry or staying in academia, especially since I started my PhD.
Right.
I had some familiarity with academic work, but I didn't know much about, like, industry and entrepreneurship world, in, especially in U.S., until I started working in a tech company here in Pittsburgh while I was finishing up my PhD. That was around
that time. I love
that.
So you're working at a tech company while finishing up your PhD. That's awesome. Very
awesome. That was around the time that I realized, wow, that is what I want to do. I want to be an entrepreneur, and I want to basically change the world. So, and based on my experience in that company and my PhD education, that's how I decided that it's better to do this.
Very cool. I think you made a wise decision.
Thank you.
Very much so. So as you've been in the ecosystem here building the companies, what can we do more of here in Pittsburgh to make it more amenable, to make it easier, to make it more friendly as far as it is? Because, I mean, you have a whole other set of challenges. I mean, there's cultural stuff, language stuff. I cannot imagine going to another country and starting a company. I'm too much of a wuss for that. You guys are strong.
Well, there are things that Pittsburgh can do, and there are things that generally, like in U.S., we can do all together as a community. In Pittsburgh, I think bigger companies, for example, can start investing more in Pittsburgh. We have seen like large companies like Google have already started this trend, but we need more of those.
More of it, right?
The more those kind of technologies and companies are in Pittsburgh, the more students are, the more it's going to be attractive for talent coming out of these good universities, Carnegie Mellon, University of Pittsburgh, to stay in Pittsburgh and giving back to the Pittsburgh community. And also in terms of investments, I think investors here in Pittsburgh need to be a little bit more risk takers with companies that are great companies that are coming out of these universities.
I hear that a lot. People can, they're a little risk averse.
Yeah, exactly. They're more like, so we need a little bit more like Silicon Valley kind of attitude with our investors here.
I like it. Very good insight. So Nesra, if you went back to Turkey to do this, what would it be like? Would it be possible to do what you're doing in Turkey?
So I mean, it is possible. I actually went back. I did my master's here at Stanford, and then I went to Turkey to work for a startup, so I know a little bit of the startup community.
Oh, interesting.
There.
Yeah, what's it like there? I'm curious.
Yeah, so I think it is starting. They're starting to have a community, and but I think there are a lot more resources and opportunities here in the U.S., and also I feel it's harder to find people with your mindset and that people are more risk averse. They, instead of starting something new, usually they tend to find something that already works in the U.S. and try to bring that to Turkey. And it's much harder to start something new and creative. It's not impossible, but as I said, there's there are more obstacles. So I thought it here with Carnegie Mellon and with all the opportunities, the funding sources here and the support, I thought it would be much easier here. But I think there's always the opportunity to take things to Turkey later on. I feel I worked with some underserved kids in Turkey, and I think there's a big gap there as well. So if we do have something that works here, it would be great to also get into it.
I love it. So we got about a minute left. So John, what are your thoughts on I mean, we're hearing some really cool stuff here. How does Buchanan now interact with firms like this, so when they're in need of services, they're able to interact and be plugged into the right network?
Well, when an entrepreneur engages a law firm, engages more than just lawyers.
Exactly.
Lawyers have been in deals, they've been in transactions, they know a lot of people, not only in Pittsburgh, but outside of Pittsburgh, to whom they can refer where there might be more risk tolerance, and the angel networks and all those kinds of groups that are out there that a foreign national wouldn't be aware of. Again, we can be like their Sacagawea, Tulewis, and Clark.
Exactly.
Guiding them along the way to the Northwest Passage.
That's awesome, man. It's a very good analogy all the way around. So glad you could spend time with us. Remind everyone, we're going to actually do a lot. We have a lot more content you can learn about these companies and this issue. If you just go to iTunes, go into the podcast tab, and just search for Tech Vibe, you'll see the Buchanan Lab series that we're doing here. So great to have Buchanan as a partner making this show happen. You know, Buchanan's been hanging out with the Tech Council for 35 years now. That's all I can say. There's a lot of good history going on there. And just to remind everybody, you are listening to Tech Vibe Radio. So glad you could tune in for this show tonight. And I hope you have an awesome weekend. Learn more about the PTC by going to pghtech.org. And if you go to Buchanan Ingersoll & Rooney, BIPC.com, you can learn all about their services there as well, too. And I hope you have a great weekend, everybody.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.